Is it still infidelity if nothing physical happened? At first, this sounds like a technical question. Was there sex? Was there kissing? Was there anything physical? Did they cross the official physical line? And it sounds like it should be a pretty straightforward question, but most of the time people who are asking, does this count, already know that something is off. Most of the time, if you're asking these questions, you've already seen the emotional intimacy, you've seen the private conversations, you see the way that they light up around this person. It's not just seeing things, you hear things too. You hear the way that they defend them. You hear the way that they say their name. You see the way that their attention, affection, curiosity, and just their emotional energy is redirected outside the relationship. But when you try to say something, they say, no, you're overreacting. They're just a friend. Nothing has happened. You're being insecure. You're making this into something that it isn't. And it's like a slap in the face because they are asking you to ignore what you can see pretty cleanly right in front of you. And then they're twisting it like a knife in the back to try to reframe it as you being insecure. And if you're in this position, you might be thinking of the things that they have in common, the things that they do together. There are visits or sharing personal things, defending the relationship, flirting, saying things about how they want this person in their life permanently. And they're just gushing about this other person, talking about how important they are, while telling you that you're being insecure. But let's reframe this in a way that cuts through a lot of the BS. The question is not, did they sleep together? The question is there emotional intimacy being transferred outside the relationship? Infidelity is not just about physical bodies. It's about attachment, secrecy, loyalty, priority, and exclusivity. If your partner is giving someone else the vulnerability that they used to give you, the attention they used to give you, the softness they used to have for you, the private thoughts that they used to go to you with first, and then defending that bond when you say it hurts, that is absolutely betrayal. And in some ways, emotional affairs are worse than physical affairs. Because if someone has a one-night stand, at least that line is obvious. There's no questioning it. It's devastating, but the category is clear. But with emotional affairs, the betraying partner often tries to hide within the ambiguity. They're able to say things and justify it all day long, and it's harder to catch them in the lie. They can say, we're just talking, we never touched, you can't control who I'm friends with. It's just exhausting. Emotional betrayal often takes place over 1,000 different moments instead of one clear, decisive, dramatic thing. But that doesn't make it any less real. If anything, it's more insulting that they've built this whole web of moments with another person. It's more intentional. It's more meaningful in a lot of ways. There's a whole private emotional world, and you're not the center of it to them anymore. And then it gets really bad when you enter into this loop where their behavior, because they are being unfaithful, makes you anxious. That anxiety makes you ask questions. Those questions annoy them. And then they use that anxiety as proof that you're the problem. See, you're just such an anxious person. You're always worrying, always overthinking. And before long, you're no longer talking about the ways they've disrespected your boundaries. They've spun it on you, and it goes back to your mental health issues. You're not being anxious or paranoid if it's an actual real threat to the relationship that you're worried about. Sometimes what is called insecurity is actually your body, your nervous system, your gut, your heart detecting that you're being replaced. Now, let's be clear. Not every friendship is an affair. That doesn't mean that partners can't have close friends, doesn't mean that they can't enjoy opposite sex friendship. Or same-sex friendship, depending on orientation, doesn't mean those things are automatically inappropriate. The issue is not the friendship. It's the secrecy, and it's the being substituted. And then the defensiveness on top of it all. It's the way that they're willing to risk their relationship and keeping you feeling good for the sake of someone that's not even part of the relationship. Healthy friendships often exist within a committed relationship, or kind of like around it. Like that relationship with your romantic partner is at the core, and that healthy friendships exist out here. And they're not butting in, they're not getting in the way of this core thing. They're around the periphery, the edges of your life, and they can still be very meaningful, but they're not at the center. You know that it's likely an emotional affair, if you feel like you're really competing with that person in some real way. So you can ask yourself different questions to help you figure out whether you do think this is a betrayal in your own situation. You can ask yourself whether they've hidden details about this person from you, regardless of why they say they did it. If they're regularly hiding things, that is evidence of betrayal. Are they minimizing things? Are they sharing emotionally intimate things with this person that they were not sharing with you? It's one thing if they're sharing things with you and with other people. It's a different thing if they're only sharing things with them or sharing it with them first. And then also compare it to other friendships in that person's life. Are you and this other person the only two people that they share emotionally vulnerable, intimate things with? That's also a big red flag. Do they become defensive when it's brought up? Do they seem to be getting closer and closer with that person while things get colder and colder with you? Is there instinct to protect the reputation of that person rather than protecting your feelings? And once you get a sense of what you believe is going on, my main advice is to stop trying to win some argument with them. A lot of betrayed partners get trapped trying to prove that this counts as infidelity. This counts as betrayal. They try to collect enough evidence, enough screenshots, enough moments, get enough peer-reviewed examples of, I had my friend look at all the texts, I had so-and-so do this. They try to get enough logic to finally get the other person who's been hurting them to say, okay, yes, I betrayed you. And I understand why, because that would eliminate all the doubts right away that you were crazy. But the problem is that if someone is invested in denying the emotional affair, they may never give you that validation that you were right. And if your healing depends on them using the right label, you might stay stuck for a very long time. So another question you can ask yourself, instead of, can I prove that this was cheating? Ask, is this relationship emotionally safe for me right now? Because let's say that you are overreacting. Let's say that you are going a little bit crazy. How are they treating you? How are they helping you with that? What are they doing? What are they willing to sacrifice to reassure you, to make you feel safe, to adjust how they relate to this other person for your peace of mind? If you're still watching this video or you're still listening, my guess is they're not doing very much. So you are allowed to notice and acknowledge and act upon the fact that you no longer feel safe, that you feel like you're being replaced, that you feel like trust has been broken, that your needs are being dismissed. You're allowed to acknowledge and take action upon the fact that this dynamic that you're in is costing you your peace, your dignity, and your ability to trust yourself. And sometimes contrast is helpful. So what would it look like for your partner to respond well to the accusation or the concern that there might be an emotional affair, either brewing or full-blown? Obviously, anyone can say, like, no, you're my number one priority. But what does it really look like to show growth and healing at this point where it's brought to their attention? Real repair sounds something like, I thank you for letting me know. I understand why this hurt you. I can see how I crossed a line. At the very least, I can see why from the outside in, it definitely looks like I did. I'm going to change this relationship in X, Y, Z specific ways because protecting us matters more than protecting my access to this person. Obviously, people don't talk that way, but I'm articulating it that way so you can hear the different elements. They need to be willing to sacrifice access to that person. They need to be willing to change the structure of that relationship, and they need to be able to acknowledge some fault done. Maybe not the full extent of what you thought was going on, but regardless of agreement with them totally, they need to take some responsibility and acknowledge, hey, if this is a problem with you, then it's a problem for us because we're what matters. And then I want to say this clearly. If they've made their choice, they clearly seem to prioritize this other person over you. The truth is that you might have to do something very difficult, which is leave for your peace of mind before you have fallen out of love with them. You don't want to have to wait to the point where you have no emotion for them, because then you'll just be numb and a shell of who you used to be. It's far better to leave while you still love them than to not leave at all or to wait too long. Because love between you and the other person, love that you have for them, is not enough for a safe relationship. There needs to be respect. There needs to be prioritization. There needs to be transparency. Just love, as weird as it sounds, is not enough. You can love someone and recognize that they're not currently capable or willing to give you the respect, honesty, and emotional protection that you need to feel safe as a person in that relationship. I'd also advise you to be careful in how you think about the affair partner. It's really easy to start placing a lot of blame on them for saying, they took advantage of my partner, they did this and that. And it's like you direct all of your anger towards someone outside the relationship. There's a lot of valid reasons to be mad at them, 100%. But if all of your energy is directed to the affair partner, you're really letting your partner off the hook. And it's an interesting psychological phenomenon for why we do this. It's similar to why kids, if their parents are splitting up, will often assume that it's their fault. It's because the kids feel safer if they believe that it's within their control. If they believe that it's their fault, then it's like they can fix something in the future. And it often happens with betrayed spouses where they'll blame the affair partner and then also look inside themselves because that feels like there's more control. It's like, well, if I could just be more like the affair partner or keep the affair partner away or keep all other women or all other men away, then I have some control here. But if it's your partner who's at fault, if it's your partner who screwed up and they did, you have way less control. You have to abandon that attachment. And I've gotten this comment a lot, so I just want to say it plainly. People will ask me about, well, what if they say, well, this person is going to be a part of my life. They're going to be my friend forever. You just need to get over it. Even if they're doing everything else right, if they're saying that, I don't see how reconciliation is possible. That just is them choosing the other person over you. And you can choose to stay if you really want to in a relationship where you are the second or third or fourth priority. But just know that so long as there is a triangle, you are not the priority. So this is what I was talking about at the beginning. Emotional affairs are a little bit more complex to navigate sometimes. That's what makes them so painful to deal with. But deep down, most people know when they've started to be displaced. They know when the person that they love has their attention going somewhere else. And they know when they're being put second. And so the fundamental question is, once I bring this to my partner, are they taking my pain seriously? And are they willing to repair what's been damaged, even if it means losing access to this other person? If they're willing to do those things, you have something to work with. It's at least possible. But if not, if they keep denying, minimizing, defending, and making you the problem, then the only question is, how soon should you leave? Because you deserve way better than that.